Psalm 23 tonight is where we're headed. It was voted by people all around the world as the number one psalm. And so we've been counting down from number 10 to number 1, and so we finally arrived at number 1 tonight. So Psalm 23, beginning reading at verse number 1, I'd ask you to stand together with me, please, as we read. The Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this time of worship tonight, and we thank you for the wonderful songs we've been able to sing and lift our voices in praise to you. Thank you for the dynamic testimony that we've just heard of your power at work in people's lives. And I pray now that as we turn our attention toward this 23rd Psalm, that you would minister to us through it, as you have ministered so many times to so many people in so many different situations. So Holy Spirit, be our teacher and our guide now is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. As I get started tonight, I want to tell you that I'm indebted to a man by the name of Philip Keller, who wrote a book entitled A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23. It's a good book. If you haven't read it, you need to get it and look at it. It's an old book, but it's just tremendous. And his perspective is unique because as a young man, he spent 8 years as a sheep owner and a sheep rancher. So he has a different insight into it than maybe somebody else would have, because he's lived among the sheep and he knows how they react and what has to be done to take care of them. The 23rd Psalm is perhaps one of the best known passages in all of Scripture, maybe just right behind John 3:16, I'm not sure where it might fall, but most people know the 23rd Psalm, and I think that we've grown to love it because it's so personal and it's so individual. And so tonight, as we study this great Psalm, I want you to picture yourself as one of the sheep that is under the constant care of the shepherd. And this is exactly who we are, according to Scripture, as Jesus refers to us as a sheep and refers to himself as our good shepherd. And I just believe, if you'll just pay close enough attention, some of the teaching is going to kind of just jump off the page at you. And you're either going to say amen, or you're going to shake your head in agreement when the light comes on, okay? Because I hope you're going to see this psalm in a different light than you've ever seen it in before. And I don't say this in any way other than to say that I'm glad tonight that I can teach this 23rd Psalm and read this 23rd Psalm in a setting other than a funeral, because we've been doing a lot of that lately. But I'm glad that God just given me an opportunity to share with you. And I told you this morning, we're going to be looking at this in two parts. So we're just going to take it verse by verse and see what God has to say to us. So the first thing I want you to look at tonight is the portion of Scripture that says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." But once again, I remind you early on that if a sheep could talk, and that sheep had a good shepherd, this is what that sheep would say. Now, you and I are considered as believers to be part of God's flock. We're his sheep. He's our shepherd. And we can talk. Okay? So there comes times when we need to say things like this to God and to other people. The Lord is my shepherd. That's very personal. and because of it I shall not want. Now David was a shepherd, and he spent many days and many hours in the field with his sheep. And so when God gave him this song, this psalm to put in the Bible hymn book, so to speak, it was probably somewhat easy for him to write it and especially to understand it, because he's been there. He's doing that probably at the moment that God has given it to him. So he understands what God is trying to get across when he talks about the sheep. So the shepherd is the key to the success of the flock. Now, the Bible talks about the difference between a shepherd who is a hireling. Now, sometimes they hired people to work their flocks, but they were not their sheep. They were hired to work the flocks. So when things got really bad, animals came to attack the flock, these hirelings might say, "This is just a job to me. I'm not going to lay down my life for these sheep, so I'm out of here." So Jesus talked about the difference between a hireling and somebody who had a vested interest in those sheep, somebody who owned those sheep, who are going to fight for those sheep, who are going to do whatever's necessary for those sheep to protect them. And this is the kind of shepherd that we have. And so the psalmist says with great pride, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." So it's as if David is saying, if the Lord, who is my shepherd, is watching over me, what could I possibly want that I don't already have? And his talking goes back to this morning a little bit about learning to be content with what we have. When I was pastoring in Atmore, Alabama, and go to the prisons, I've told you this before, but we'd go to the prisons, and before we would preach, I would give the inmates an opportunity to share a testimony. Want to know what was on their mind. And I remember one night very vividly, one inmate stood up and said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I want. Everything I need." And then he went on to say, "I have 3 meals a day. I have clean clothes, clean sheets to sleep on, and I hear it's tough outside." Well, that's a strange perspective. I wouldn't want to swap places with him, but it is a good perspective, amen, on the circumstance that you find yourself in. And he realized that even in a prison setting, that his Lord was taking care of him. "The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything that I need." And what we sometimes forget is that it is our shepherd who supplies our every need. Let me take it a step further. He supplies our every need, not our every want. Remember I talked to you about a disease this morning, the wants? Well, he's not going to give you everything you want. He will take care of your needs. He will give you everything that you need. He will take care of that. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19 says, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Well, that's the kind of shepherd that we have watching over us. And then he goes on to say that this shepherd that we have, he makes us lie down in green pastures, and he leads us beside quiet waters, still waters. I've never tried to raise a sheep, never been around sheep very much, but I'm told from what I've read that it's not easy to make a sheep lie down. That's a hard thing to get a sheep to do. As a matter of fact, there are certain conditions that have to be met before they will. Now, remember early on I said keep in mind that we're like the sheep, and that there are seemingly certain conditions in our own lives that have to be met before we find our comfort zone in God. For a sheep, in order to lie down, even though the pasture around them is everything they want, in order to lie down in green pastures, they have to, first of all, be free from all fear. They have to be free from all fear. Second thing, there must be no tension between members of the flock. Hello. That's why you see a lot of sheep standing up, I guess. I don't know. No tension between members of the flock. Third thing, they must not be aggravated with flies or parasites. And number four, they have to be free from hunger. Now, once you and I eat, it's easy to make us lie down. No problem. But they will not lie down unless these conditions are met. No fear, no tension, no aggravation, no hunger. Sheep are easily frightened. Once again, keep yourself in mind. Sheep are easily frightened. A stray rabbit can stampede a whole flock. And when one startled sheep runs, they all run. Not even knowing why they're running or what they're running from. They just run. Because they're afraid. It's the presence of the shepherd in the field that instills confidence in the flock. Now, the sheep will not rest when bothered by the aggravation of insects and parasites. Thus, the shepherd must provide them with relief. And we're going to talk about that a little later, about how he anoints their heads with oil. That's why he does it. He is the only one that can meet their needs. Becky was talking about doctors, and doctors do what they can, and they make the calls that they feel comfortable making or that they have chosen to make in certain situations. But they don't know everything. They don't know everything. Now, we need them, and God has given them to us, and I'm not knocking doctors tonight, but what I'm saying to you is that God is the only one who can meet our needs. The only one. And so the shepherd has to seek out the green pastures for his sheep to graze in, because only when the sheep are free from fear, free from tension, free from aggravation, and have had plenty to eat, will they lie down and be at peace. This verse also says that the good shepherd leads us beside quiet waters. Quiet waters, still waters. Now, sheep are like any other living thing. They can't survive without water. But sheep are kind of particular about things. Huh? Remember, we're sheep. And sheep are kind of particular about things. They will not drink from noisy, turbulent water. They require a well or a slow-flowing stream. Still waters to drink from. And so not only does the shepherd have to find the green pastures in which for them to graze, Not only does he have to watch over them and protect them and keep everybody on the same page, so to speak, but he also has to find these still waters for them to go and drink in order to sustain their lives. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. In other words, he makes it possible for me to lie down in green pastures. He meets my need so that I can lie down in green pastures and I can drink from quiet waters. He does all that for me. Then it says, and this is so powerful, he restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. Maybe you've heard the term a cast sheep. This is a sheep that has gotten turned over on its back and it can't right itself. It's on its back and there's nothing it can do for itself. It is a cast sheep. And this is evidently a frequent occurrence among sheep. And when it happens, all they can do is lie on their back and kick their feet frantically in the air. That's all they can do. They may bleat or yell or whatever sheep do to try to get attention, but that's it. There is absolutely nothing that they can do to help themselves. And so if the shepherd doesn't arrive within a short time, guess what happens to the sheep? Dies. It dies. So this is one reason why a shepherd is always looking over their flock, always counting the sheep to see if they're all there and if they're all on their feet. Remember the parable, the 99 sheep and the one that was missing, the one that was lost, and how the shepherd left the 99 and he went out looking for that one lost sheep. A good shepherd will search for hours if necessary to find the lost sheep. And when he finds a cast sheep, he turns it over on its side. He begins to rub its legs to restore circulation to the legs of that animal. He will then eventually get it upright. It will begin to walk slowly and stumble a little bit. And then it will right itself and begin to walk steadily and surely. But if it weren't for the good shepherd, it wouldn't have had a chance to survive. Life ever knocked you on your back? Life ever put you in a situation to where you knew that if God didn't come through, you were doomed. Your life was over for all practical purposes. But because you and I have a good shepherd, he is the one who comes from time to time in our own lives and restores our soul. He puts us upright once again. He gives us an opportunity to get back in with the rest of the flock. He gives us that opportunity to then graze in those green pastures and drink from those still waters. He is the only one who can do that. So can you relate to that from a spiritual perspective? Have you ever become a cast sheep and God came looking for you and God restored you back to the flock? Amen. You see, we need to thank God daily that if we go missing from the flock for some reason, he knows about it and he reaches out to restore us once again. He restores our soul. Next section says, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Sheep are dumb animals. Don't know if that's why God refers to us that way or not. But sheep are basically dumb animals. And they need guidance and they need direction, just like human sheep do. Without guidance and without direction, sheep would just stay where they are and they would graze until they ate the grass all the way down to the ground
to the point to where they would damage the roots, even the roots of the grass. If nobody moved them on, if nobody says, let's go, let's move from this spot, they would graze right there. Well, I'm afraid that some of us have been grazing in the same spot for a while. And God's been saying, you need to move on. You need to step it up a little bit. Some of us are like that in that we've been grazing at the same spot in the church for years without ever moving or taking a look around to see if the shepherd is seeking to lead us to greener pastures. It's not God's fault when sheep do not respond as they should. How could we blame that on God? He gives us a choice. He gives us an opportunity. Matter of fact, Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one of us to his own way. You like to do things your way? You like to have things your way? Well, if you want to have things your way, go to Burger King. They'll fix it your way. They'll let you have it your way. But when it comes to the things of God, he's not going to, well, he'll let us have it our way, but it's not going to turn out very good. And he wants to minister to us because we've all turned every one of us to our own way. And so we need a shepherd to lead us to the paths of righteousness in order that honor and glory might be given to the shepherd's name. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. For his name's sake. So what are sheep to do? Sheep are to bring honor and glory to the shepherd. They're to be obedient to the shepherd. They're to follow the shepherd's leadership. And the shepherd leads sheep because you can't drive sheep. You can't drive them. It's like herding cats. You know, you just can't do that. And he goes ahead of them and he leads the way and expects them to follow. 1 Peter 2:21 says, for to this you were called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Did you get it? Follow his steps. If you're following somebody, they're out in front of you, right? Follow his steps. Now, why in the world would you want to follow in the steps of Jesus? Well, John 14:6 says, I'm the way. This is Jesus talking. I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. That's a pretty good reason to follow in his steps. So he leads me in paths of righteousness. He is trying to lead me in the way that wherever he's going, that's where I'm going. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, so that we bring honor and glory to him. One of the biggest complaints against the church today, any church, is that it's filled with people who say they believe the book, who say they believe that in what God says and what they ought to do, what God tells them to do, and then they don't do it. So what have we done to the Lord's name at that point? We tarnished it. We haven't brought honor and glory to it at all. And then the last part of this psalm for tonight says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. From a shepherd's point of view, this statement marks the halfway point of this psalm. Because now the attention is turned from the sheep to the shepherd. The long journeys into the high country with their summer range where they would take the sheep to graze, this is where they begin. Because this shepherd differs from others because he takes his sheep to the high country while other sheep herders may stay in the valley and just graze on whatever they can find. To get to the high country, to get to the next mountaintop, you have to go through a valley to get there. To move from one mountain to another, there's always a valley to go through. And for the shepherd, these would be literal valleys that they would have to go through and take their sheep through to get to the higher country to allow them to graze. Now, for all of us, there are going to be valleys at one time or another. And some of us have had or will have many valleys to walk through before it's all over with. Some of them will be deep. Some of them not so deep. Some of them will be very trying. Some of them maybe not so trying. But somewhere along the path we call life, we must all cross through and go through the valley of the shadow of death. We must walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But you have to understand what it doesn't say. It does not say that when we go into the valley of the shadow of death, that's where we die. Doesn't say that's where we stay. No, it says we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, this verse is used over and over and over again at funerals because of the comfort that it brings. But even though we have to pass through the valley of the shadow of death, it's not the end, but merely the door into a higher and more exalted life of ultimate contact with Christ. Now, a shadow may scare you, but a shadow can't hurt you. And so he says, we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The good shepherd knows all about the valleys that you and I have to go through. And thus it's tremendously comforting to know that God is always with us. He teaches that he's always with us. He teaches that he will never leave us. That he will never forsake us. That he will always be there for us. So no one walks through the valley of the shadow of death by themselves. Always accompanied by God. Though death is considered a robber or a thief many times, we as believers need not fear evil, for in death there is not really an end, but there certainly is a new beginning at that point. And so we are walking through the valley of the shadow of death, and there is no need to fear evil at that point because God is with us. You're with me, and next week we'll talk about your rod and your staff. They comfort me. So God is with us. He is the one that is our shepherd. So I want to ask you tonight, can you say that with the same confidence that David said it and wrote it, that the Lord is my shepherd? I know him personally. And because I know him personally, I'm not going to be in want. He's going to meet every need that I have. He's going to make it possible for me to lie down in green pastures. He knows all about my idiosyncrasies. of what keeps me from following him the way that I should. And he's going to take care of that. He's going to lead me beside the quiet water so that I can take refreshing drinks from the streams that he's led me to. Whenever he finds me flat on my back, not able to get up, not able to move, not wanting to face another day, he's going to come and he's going to restore my soul. He's going to right me. He's going to help me. He's going to meet my needs. He's going to guide me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He's going to make it possible for me to live a life in such a way, live such a life that it brings honor and glory to him. Everything you and I do on a daily basis, people ought to look at our lives and say, you know, I've been watching you, and everything that you do and everything that you say seems to have God attached to it somehow. Well, that's what he's talking about. And then when it comes right down to it, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, when that day comes, I'm walking through, not stopping. I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, and I'm not going to fear any evil because I got God on my side. I got God walking through that valley with me. When you study this psalm from this perspective, it comes to life. You know? I hope that the next times you hear these verses and then the ones we'll look at next Sunday night, when you hear it again, it's going to sound different. Because you're going to have these mental pictures that God has given you of who this shepherd is and who you are as a sheep and what he's doing for you and has done for you and is going to continue to do for you in the days to come. So I simply ask the question tonight, who is your shepherd? I'm thankful to be able to stand here and testify the Lord is my shepherd. I have no wants at all because of him. Pray with me. Lord, thank you that you're our good shepherd, that you're able to meet every need that we have. You're able to watch over us and protect us. You're able to lead us to green pastures and quiet waters. You're able to get us on the right path, the path that brings honor and glory to your name. You're there to walk with us through the valley of the shadow of death, and we're not going to fear any evil because of it, because we know that you're there with us. We don't travel that path alone. We travel it with you, side by side, as a companion. So I pray tonight, Father, if there's anyone here who's never received Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, that they would realize how great you are and what you want to do in their life and how you want to be their shepherd, how you want to meet their needs. And that they're going to come tonight and they're going to have a life-changing experience with you. Father, if there is somebody here tonight who needs Christ as their Savior, I pray that they might just pray this simple prayer with me. As I pray it out loud, they're going to pray it silently to themselves. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I've done so many things that have displeased you. I ask you tonight to forgive me of all my sins, and to come into my life and to save me tonight. I want you to be my shepherd. I want you to be able to take care of my needs when I have them, and I want to be able to glorify your name and give testimony to what you do in my life. Thank you for loving me when I didn't love you. Thank you for dying for me on a cross so that I could be saved. I give my life to you tonight. While every head's still bowed, every eye still closed, you prayed that prayer with me tonight. I believe with all my heart that God saved you and that you're part of the family of God. You've become a member of the flock, so to speak, tonight. But yet everybody that God saves, God calls. He calls him openly and publicly to make that decision for him. Not ashamed of what he's done for you. So if you prayed that prayer with me, or you've prayed that prayer in the past, and you've never made that decision public for God, by your life, you're giving God glory for all that he's doing for you and has done for you, I want to encourage you to come in just a few moments and make that decision public. You may be looking for a church home here tonight. And this is where God's told you he wants you. When we begin to sing, I want you to just step out into the nearest aisle, and I want you to come. And I just want you to say to us, this is where God wants us. We know him as our Savior. If that's the case, or if you need him, you tell us that. But you just come. We'll take care of everything else that needs to be taken care of. You just do what God's asking you to do. You sense the shepherd leading you tonight in paths of righteousness. Father, bless this time now. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.